I'd like to introduce Wilfred Rewald from Singapore, from the Solar Energy Research Institute of Singapore. And again, forecasting is our task.
Okay. Can you hear me? Yes. Well, thank you for enduring yet another forecasting talk. but this one will be on a completely different physical scale from the others. Let me start by introducing my co-workers who actually did all the heavy lifting in what I'm going to talk about. Zhao Lu, Vishal Sharma, and Aloysius Aripetera. Postdocs, the first two, and PhD student Aloysius, who actually did all the heavy lifting. And this should be a simple talk because I only have really two substantive scientific contributions to make, and they are due to Zhao and Vishal, basically. But I'm going to give you an overview of Ceres, who we are, the motivation for what we do, tell you about what we do now, and then give you a view on what we intend to do in the future. So Ceres is the Solar Energy Research Institute of Singapore. We were founded in 2008 by the government of Singapore to develop the growing solar PV industry in Singapore. We are a rather unusual university department in that we are very closely aligned with industry. So we don't do typical university research on small-scale state-of-the-art technology. We work with industry. Our labs contain the same machines that the factories in China contain. We work very, very closely with project developers, financiers, policymakers, etc., to provide an interface between academia and players in the market. So formerly we're a part of the National University of Singapore. We now have 140 people. Actually, this is a bit out of date. We're now 155, and we have about 20 open positions now. We're growing rapidly. We have about 6,000 square meters of lab space, which has just been completely renovated with about $30 million of new equipment, being things like the lines that produce cells, the lines that laminate modules, and a whole bunch of characterization equipment, which we use for professional services, like the kind of characterizations that the manufacturers require before they can put their products to market. So our labs enjoy several international certifications that allow us to do this testing, and then third-party companies like the VDE Group actually issue the manufacturer with the certification based on the testing that we do. Our organization is structured in five different clusters or departments with 18 subunits, and running through those you'll see that we try to be pretty vertically integrated. We do work on cells, on modules, on new devices. We have a small group on traditional state-of-the-art research. We have a group on buildings, the optimization of tropical buildings in the context of solar irradiance is a very important topic from the point of global energy use. And then finally, the solar energy systems cluster, where I am located in that red group, the energy metrology group, we work on irradiance studies and forecasting. Okay, so the motivation is that Singapore is typical of many tropical belt, many developing country cities, in that it is enjoying a very rapid uptake in solar PV systems. Now, Singapore is not really a developing country, but the idea is that our institute develops techniques that will be applied throughout developing Asia and other tropical places around the world, particularly Africa. So we did a forecast for the government of Singapore where we see the penetration of PV being something like 20% within the foreseeable future. So Singapore is a very small place. It's only about 40 kilometers across about 750 square kilometers. So to have 20% of your power coming from a highly variable source like PV while maintaining an extremely stable grid that does not have strong connections with neighboring grids is a significant challenge. So forecasting is really critical for Singapore. And we see what we do will have a lot of application in other cities around Asia. In other countries that we work in, like India, you will see similar developments in large cities, mega cities that are rapidly developing PV that may also not enjoy strong or reliable grid networks. So we see what we do in Singapore as being a precursor to what will be done elsewhere in the region. So our irradiance being a tropical location, we don't have nice clear skies and relatively simple cloud motions that you can track with vectors the way you do in Colorado. We have a lot of heat and humidity. We have very rapid evolution of cloud systems, vertical evolution. We don't really have seasons. It's kind of hot and cloudy all year round. We can't really break up our days into cloudy and cloud-free regimes. Here I show four traces of irradiance days. So the first one in the top left-hand corner is what passes for a clear sky day in the tropics. So obviously the amplitude of that will vary with the aerosols. We do get intense haze events caused by things like anthropogenic particles put in the atmosphere by fires, for example. So the amplitude of our clear sky trace will go up and down. We want to forecast that. Next to that, you have a sudden storm. We'd like to know in advance, or the power company or the grid operator would like to know in advance if a storm like that is coming across. Then in the bottom left-hand corner, we have a completely washout day. So again, the grid operator would like to know a day or two in advance if that is going to happen. And then in the bottom right-hand corner, we have a sort of a typical high variability day. And we would like to know to what extent can we deal with that kind of variability. So the way we do that in Singapore is we have a network of irradiance stations, monitoring stations. Here's an example of one of them. And we have 25 of those around the island. And the red dots and the blue dots just represent some have more instruments than others. In fact, we have more than that. These are the 25 stations in our own irradiance network, but some of our customers, some government departments that are putting lease systems on their rooftops, they also want to have irradiance stations. So we have more stations than this. You'll see that they're not distributed uniformly across the island. That has advantages and disadvantages. Some of the techniques that we employ do require a good sampling of spatial frequencies in order to do the imaging or mapping that we want to do. But on the other hand, making an even map and interpolating precisely at every point on that island is important, and I'll talk about how we do that later. Those stations produce an instantaneous image of the irradiance, which we make available on a website called the Solar Repository. On that website, we also try and give data on as many PV systems as in Singapore as we can. So we produce this map instantaneously every second, and we also evolve this in time using spatiotemporal kriging methods and can give forecast maps on short timescales. We also have sky cameras on some of those stations, and I have a new grant that starts next month to install sky cameras on all of them. So I'm looking for collaborations to optimally deploy them. But as it stands, the dozen or so cameras we have now are online, and you can click on them and see the sky in Singapore at any given time. So we use those existing stations to do fairly traditional point forecasting. So there on the right are some traces that show a month's worth of irradiance and how we break that down into a so-called seasonal and trend and then residual component to do point-by-point forecasting. So one of the first things we want to do is to identify just how well we can do this point forecasting, because Singapore, as at only 40 kilometers across, it is valuable to know what is the best possible time series you can do for that single point. So we do that station by station. Here we see some live data or recent data. So the red dots are the observations, the blue dots are one of our time series forecasts, and the green are the residuals. So we're getting around about a 25% normalized root mean square error per station. And we put the average of all 25 stations online, and you can click on a variety of different forecasting methods to see what our current 15-minute forecast is for the average of 25 stations in Singapore. And what we'd like to do is ask, what is the best you can do in a tropical environment for a time series forecast like that? So what we are doing, and incidentally, we also have stations, we have monitoring stations in Japan and in Australia, so we have some mid-latitude sites and some arid sites, and we make use of the NREL database and the Bureau of Meteorology in Australia to test our algorithms on a variety of timescales in a variety of different climate zones, because we want to know is what are the limits of our forecasting using simple time series. And we plot many plots like this, which where the colors indicate the forecasting skill for a range of different histories and forecast horizons. So the current state of our work is that we are exploring many different algorithms to do this. So I think everybody in the room is probably well past simple persistence and ARIMA forecasts. People look at artificial neural networks and hybrids. So we've gone through a bunch of different neural network techniques because of their ability to capture the nonlinear dynamics. So we start with a fairly simple traditional feed-forward neural network, and the bottom right-hand corner there, we get a normalized root mean square error of 18 to 26% for a one-hour forecast for the average of the 25 stations across Singapore. So the next thing to do is to use a wavelet as the basis of your neural network forecast. So we've employed this because they have better generalization properties for a complex time series. And the root mean square error there is a little bit better, 18 to 22% for the one-hour forecast for Singapore. Another tool that we've done, again, I'm going to rush through this, but all of this is available on our website, and you can apply these in real time to the solar data in Singapore. We do the support vector forecast. They give a slightly improved normalized root mean square error to about 20%. And then finally, our state of the art at the moment is a multi-scale wavelet, where we decompose a standard wavelet, the SIM-8 wavelet there, into 8 different components, and apply that to about a month's worth of training data to get a result like this. And this is the best that we can currently do for time series data in Singapore. You can see the residuals there, the lower plot, show very little structure. So we believe this is about as good as we can do. And the results are borne out in the comparison of the normalized root mean square errors there, the multi-scale wavelet neural net on the far right is of the order of 10% normalized root mean square error for one-hour forecasts. So that's what we think we can do, and that's what we can give the grid operator in terms of point forecasts for the whole island. But we also want to understand what happens in two dimensions, because by the time Singapore has 20% of its power coming from solar, this will be unevenly distributed over the low-tension electricity grid. So sudden variability, as you saw in the irradiance trace, could potentially cause localized destabilization of the grid. So what we want to do is really do this forecast not only for the whole island, not only treating the whole island as a pixel, but doing it in two dimensions. So we are spending quite a lot of time in our mapping technique. So like a lot of people here, I started off as a physicist, so I assumed that that you could just convolve our measurement points with circular Gaussians and take weights based on the distance from your measurement point to the nearest stations. But it turns out that that is not nearly good enough. You really need to have an intelligent mapping technique that optimally weights the information you have from nearby stations. So we use spatial temporal kriging to do that and to do our forecasting. And the next few slides just show a technique that we have developed to do that. Actually, we used data from Hawaii to develop this technique. This is NREL data from Hawaii that we've used because it's a very dense network of irradiance stations that also comes with a lot of other data, such as wind data. So what we've done is we've used a kriging technique that incorporates also a preferential direction, which is the direction of the prevailing winds. So it's a two-dimensional kriging that that also includes a spatial variable. There's a picture of the network that we used, and then to sum up, I only have a couple of slightly dissatisfying plots to quantify how well this works. It's a 2D technique, but we validate it using the ability of the technique to reproduce the cumulative density function of the ramp rates. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to dealing with the variability of the irradiance, it's that distribution of ramp rates that causes you problems. So our validation of this technique is to compare those lines, show a bunch of different models that you can use to reproduce the distribution function of ramp rates, and the y-axis there is the mean absolute error of these various techniques, and our spatial kriging plus preferential direction system is the sort of yellowy brown trace at the lowest end, and this shows the same idea. Here, our model is the brown line, and it should be as close to zero as possible. This is the difference between the observed and predicted cumulative distribution function of ramp rates. And again, you want your line to be as close to zero as possible, and our 2D kriging plus direction does that better than any other model that we've found. So what we use this for, we use this to create a two-dimensional irradiance map from those 25 stations, and then we can sort of convolve that with what we know about the location of PV stations on the grid, and therefore forecast what's going to happen to the grid in real time. So as the irradiance changes, the PV systems on the grid represent like a negative load, and the ramp rates can destabilize the grid if they are not understood in advance and compensated for. And using this model, we believe we can do that in the most accurate way possible. Okay, so that concludes what we have done up until now. And so let me just conclude with our future activities. Singapore has just concluded an exercise of flying aeroplanes over the island to make a very highly accurate, like 10 centimeter spatial resolution, three-dimensional model of every building on the island. There are 200,000 buildings, and we are using them to create solar irradiance forecast maps for every surface of every building, and this will also go into the PBL layer of a Wharf Solar project, where we intend to do longer time horizon forecasting using the rapid refresh Wharf Solar ensemble techniques that you've heard about all day. So that's our future work. Thank you very much.